So Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray, God, that you will bless this nation. God, we pray that you will do good to this nation for your name's sake. I pray, God, that people will know that you are a good God. Lord, when the people cry out, God, when we cry out, God, you say that your ear is not too short that you can't hear. So thank you for hearing, God. Thank you for saving. We pray for your grace in this nation, God. We pray that your kingdom may extend, God. We pray for your kingdom of righteousness, of peace, and of joy to manifest in this nation. In Jesus' name. Thank you for the rain, God. Thank you for the rain all in the north in the country, God, in so many places, God. Thank you that you heard the prayers, God, and you were gracious to send rain. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to give you a moment just to turn your seats. Vir die van ons wat besoek miskien vir die eerste keer vandag of nog nie voorheen nie was nie. Vir ruklank gaan ons dienste net in Engels hou, net vir die maand of so. So julle is baie welkom. Ons het ook aanddienste. We also have evening services at 6 o'clock if you want to join us for the evening, for whatever reason. You're really welcome to join us. We haven't had opportunity to give to the Lord this morning, an offering. So, did you? Oh, thanks. I was informed wrongly. I was in the kiddies' church and someone just said that there was no opportunity for giving. Thank you for giving. That's good. Our God is the God of a new day, the God of a fresh start, the God of a second chance. He's the God who, when Samson messes up his whole life, in the end of his life, he prays and God redeems his purpose in a strange way. God is the God who never writes someone off. God says that even a broken reed, I won't chop off. God is the God that says, I don't care if this tree hasn't given fruit for years, I'm going to give him one more chance. I'm going to give him one more year of grace and one more year of gardening. God is that God that never ever writes someone off. Ephesians says that our God is rich in mercy, that he's gracious to all who call upon him. God is a gracious God. God is the God of a new beginning, of a second chance. And at the beginning of this year, we had New Year celebrations. We had New Year's parties all around the world and all around the country. And I want to say it's a good thing. It's a biblical thing that we celebrate a new year because we can look back and say, wow, God, you've been so good to us in the past. God, look at what you've done to us. It's another year. It's another marker. It's another time that we've circled the sun in a very real sense. And another year, God, in which you have been faithful to us. God, look at how good you've been to us. You are a gracious, good God that gives us another chance. And the beginning of the year is a good time to celebrate because it's a clean slate. It's an unwritten book. There's something that hasn't been penned. There's something that hasn't been created. There are ample opportunities. There's things that we don't know what lies ahead. But we know this, that God says, I'm the God who has prepared good plans for you for this year. We know that God says that there are good works that I've prepared for all those who call me. We know that God is the God that creates good plans, that God has a plan for my life for this year, and he's the one that guides me in it. It's a good thing that we celebrate new beginnings. It's a good thing that we celebrate birthdays. It's a good thing that we celebrate all these things, because in one sense, we look back at the faithfulness of God, but in another sense, we look towards the good that God has. We are a hope-filled people. As the church of God, we are the only people that can be truly hopeful in this world. Because we know that doesn't matter what happens, God is faithful and God is with me. I love what Ephesians 2 says. It says that once you were far removed from God and without hope in this world, but now the Lord has drawn you close to him. I love that scripture. We are the people that live and walk with God Almighty in intimacy. We are never alone. We are Liverpool people. We never walk alone because God walks with us. And we love that about God. He says, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He is a good, faithful, kind-hearted God who loves us, who wants to be with his people, who wants to be with you. And he's for you for good. I love what the old church people always used to say. God is good. And all the time, and that's why we're hopeful for this year. Because our God is a God that is good to us. He's good, but he's good towards us. Doesn't matter what happened, nothing irredeemable can happen with a Christian. Nothing that lies, and this is an amazing thing if you think about it. At the beginning of this year, Romans 2, 8:28 says that all things, literally, all things work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We can look towards a year, and we can go, wow, doesn't matter what life throws at me this year, doesn't matter what the Roman Empire, Romans 8, does to me this year, doesn't matter what utterances our president makes this year, doesn't matter what America does, doesn't matter what Syria does, doesn't matter what ISIS does, doesn't matter what happens with my body, with sickness, with my employer, all things work together for my good because God is for me and God is with me. God is the almighty God that leaves nothing to chance. Nothing ever surprises God. Nothing ever throws God off balance. Nothing ever messes him up. Nothing ever goes, oh, I didn't see that one coming. Oh, sorry, Dale. Sorry, I slipped up. God does not slip up. God loves you. God is for you. God is good. If I say these things, please note that I'm not preaching a human-centered message. Please don't think that all of the universe and God surrounds you for your sake. And, ooh, God just wants to keep you happy. If you've ever risen, if you've ever raised a kid, you know that at some point you just have to remind yourself that, hey, this household cannot circle around this two-year-old. We have to tell him that. And, you know, and everything is good for you, but it doesn't mean that I live to make you happy. God does not live to make you happy. I'm not saying that. God does not exist to keep you happy. But what I do say is that God is good, and for those who love God, everything works out for your good. If you choose God, if you seek God, God is good, God is faithful. Selah, one moment of contemplation. The almighty, all-knowing, ever-living, ever-present God is always with you and for you. How? How awesome is that? So, Revelation 21, culmination. I'm seriously contemplating preaching through Revelations this year. And no, we're not going to look for the Pope, and we're not going to look for the chip in the hand. We're going to look at what the message actually meant for the first century people. So I just want to prompt you. If anyone is keen for that, we'll do that. If the church says no and only 50 of you want it, then we'll do a Bible study for you because I'm going to do it anyway. You might as well, you know, jump in and study what the book says. But Revelation chapter 21, it's the great culmination of all creation. And it's written specifically for that purpose to say, listen, churches in Ephesus, you that are suffering severely from Domitian, you that are suffering severely from Roman oppression, you that are suffering severely, that are hard pressed on every side, that have the world governance and the world religions and everything against you, you that are oppressed in every way and ostracized and pushed aside in every way, church in Ephesus, know this. It's not going to end like this. It's not going to end like this. You are more than overcomers in Christ Jesus. This is how this book is going to end. This is how your life is going to end. And when Jesus comes back, this is what's going to happen. There will be a new heaven, a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away and the sea is no more. He will wipe every single tear from every single cheek. The other day, Nathan came to me and he cried because he got a hiding. And he came to me and he says, Papa, Papa, vir my wangetjie af. Vir my oogies skoon. And I did that and he smiled and everything was fine. And that's what God is going to do to those crying. He says, there will be no more tears. Death shall be no more. Neither mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away, says God. And he said, he that is seated on the throne, he that rules, he that governs, he that decides what happened, he that orchestrates all things in the universe says, look, look up. I'm making all things new. And I love what it says there. He doesn't say, I will make all things new. He says, look, I make all things new now. I'm the God who creates new. Because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and everything was splendorous and everything was beautiful and everything was awesome. God created a paradise where there was no tear, no sickness, no death, no pain, where there was none of these things. God created an environment where he can dwell with his people and when his people rule on his behalf and there was peace and there was greatness. And then sin entered in. You know the story. Satan says, I have an apple or I have a fruit. Eve had a fruit, gave to her husband. God came to Adam and says, what have you done? He said, it wasn't me, it was the woman. And the woman says, it wasn't me, it was the serpent. And the serpent had no leg to stand on. You know the story. And sin entered, and destruction and death and pain and tears entered creation. And from that very moment, Jesus has always been making things new. He's always been preserving. He's always been saving. Whoever cried to him or cried out to him through our generations has always been saved. He's always been the merciful Savior. He's always been the God who saves, the God who intervenes. He's always been the good God that loves his people, that whoever seeks him in some way, he preserves and he saves and he carries them on. And then God says, listen, there's going to be a day when I will come back and there will be a great celebration, a New Year's celebration. There'll be horns blown. There will be trumpets. There'll be dancing. There'll be singing. There'll be worship. And everyone will see my glory. And God says, all these things will be pushed aside that bring tears, sadness, sickness, death will be pushed away and I will make all things new. But I love what he says here. He says, it's not that I will one day make that. He says, I make it now. I am making things new now. And that's why at the beginning of the new year, you can just see that I just came back from holiday. You've been going for 3 weeks. I just came back now. So for me, this is a new year for me now. Lord says, I will make all things new. This year is a fresh start. Our God is the God of a fresh start. The God of the clean slate. The God of the new page. The God who says, listen, forget the former things. This is a new way. The God of whom Paul said, listen, I forget everything of the past. And I stretch myself out to what God has for me now. I forget the stuff of the past. The God who says, listen, come and talk to me. Though your sins be like scarlet, though your conscience is wearing you down, though guilt and shame is tugging you down, the Lord says, come, let's talk. Let's end it. Isaiah 1:18. Let's end this suffering. Let's end this turmoil. Let's end this pain of the past. Let's wipe it away and let's make all things new. It will be as white as snow, as though you've never sinned. That's what God promises. That is the gospel in Christ Jesus. That is the gospel. The God that says, you are worn down in sin. Your life is a mess. Ask me and I will save you. When God saves, when we cry, save me, God, it's not as though God saves you a seat in heaven. God doesn't save seats in heaven. God redeems a life now. God saves you now. And that is the gospel. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Lamentations 3 at the back there. Beautiful. Mercies are new every morning. Every morning. This morning, the Lord says, let's start. I am the God this morning of a fresh start. I'm the God this morning that says, I don't care what you did last summer. I don't care what you did then. I don't care what he did to you last summer. The Lord says, let's close the book. Let's forget the past. Let's stretch ourselves out forward to what I have ahead for you. I don't care about your economic failures. I don't care about your academic failures. I don't care about relationship failures. The Lord says, I care because I want to redeem you. But God says, your life is not over. He is the God of the fresh start now. I don't care how old you are this morning. I see a few gray heads and people that wish they still had gray hairs on their heads this morning. But God is the God of a fresh start that says that today it's a fresh start. Your life is not over. I'm the God that has good plans for you. So let's close the book. Come and reason with me. Come, my mercy's on you this morning. Come, let's have a fresh start. It's a new year. It's a new purpose, what God has for you. Our God is the God that says, come, reason with me. It means we forgive as we receive forgiveness. Because we know that what guilt does to us in the past, it wears you down. You are always living in reaction to what you've done. You're always living in shame because I am this guy. But this is what I love about our God. Our God is the God that turns Jacob, deceiver, betrayer, schemer, into Israel, prince overcomer with God. A God is the God who turns Saul, persecutor, vengeanceful, hatred, self-righteous man, into Paul, the apostle of grace. Because of an encounter with him. It doesn't happen automatically. It happens with an encounter with the living God. Our God is gracious. Our God is the God of a fresh start. Our God is the God of the new identity, of the new you. Our God makes you new and makes your life new. Our God says, listen, let's forgive and forget the stuff of the past. Because as we have messed up, other people have messed up with us. And our God is the God that says, forgive and move on. Now, today, I want to challenge you guys. If you are living in reaction to what you have done or what others have done to you or how you have failed or how others have failed you in the past, today is the day you says, okay, Lord, I want to take you on your word that your mercies are new for me and for other people this morning. And today I will no longer live in reaction to what others have done for me or what I have done for others, against others. Today you are the God of the fresh start. Now, that is the gospel. That is the gospel. The God that creates beauty out of ashes. The God says, weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The God that says, let's start over. Secondly, our battery is flat. But our God is the God of the new beginning. The God of the new metamorphosis. The God that says, listen, I want you to consider this. I am the Almighty God for whom nothing is impossible. I am the God for whom nothing is impossible. There is nothing I cannot do. I am the God that creates rivers and springs of life in a desert of death. There where there seems to be no hope, I create hope. There where there seems to be no outcome, I make an outcome. Because that's who I am. I am the God who creates life and creates beauty out of ashes. I am that God. I'm the God that asks Ezekiel, Ezekiel, what do you see? And he says, Lord, I see just bones. I see graveyards that have been blown open in the sand. I just see bones everywhere. I can't see any life. I see no potential. I see no strength. This army is over. This is hopelessness in front of me. And he says, look again. Can these bones live? And Ezekiel goes, you know, Lord. And the Lord says, yes, it can live. I'm the God of the new beginning. I'm the God where it seems that there is no hope, I create hope. Where there's no way out, I create a way out. I am that God. We serve the Almighty God, the Almighty Redeemer. Jesus is the Redeemer that doesn't wipe you away and doesn't... Moses was so good. He heard God's cry when God says, listen, okay, Moses, I'll tell you how I feel. If I had human emotions, this is how I feel. I think, let's just wipe them all and start with you again. And Moses says, no, Lord. Wait. They are a bunch of rebellious, hard-necked sinners. Lord, redeem them. And then God says, I will redeem them. I won't wipe you away and start with a new person. God says, I take this mess and I turn it into a message. I'm going to take you because this is my beauty. I will recreate you. I will take the ashes and I will recreate beauty from it. I will take what's death and I will make it alive. I will take this worm and make it into a butterfly. I will take this desert and I will make it a spring of life. Where people fled from the desert, people will run to the desert because this is the only place they find hope. This is our God. Our God is the God that takes the washed out prostitute in Belleville that wants every second guy to come and just validate their existence, and he redeems her life and makes her a mother of many, makes her orphan. Our God is not the God who wipes away and sends someone else because freaking you're not going to do it. Our God is the God who takes the waste and make it into something beautiful. Our God is the God of the new beginning. Guys, I don't know what your life is and I don't know what life is going to throw at you. That's the reason why I'm not hopeless about South Africa. I'm not hopeless about South Africa because we serve the God of the new beginning that doesn't wipe everything and then, no, our God comes and he makes. Can you get that this is what God does at the moment with the new creation? God says, I will make all things new. What is God making new in this messed up, sinful world? Us. We are the redeemed. Now, if God can take this man and make him a faithful father and a humble leader, then guys, God can take anything. If God can turn you, an arrogant, self-centered sinner that lives to please himself and make you a resemblance of Christ himself, then God can do anything. Jeremiah, he cries out. He says, oh Lord, Jeremiah 32:17. He says, Lord, wow, you are the God of all creation. You are so strong, God. Nothing is too impossible. And God smirks at Jeremiah. Jeremiah 32:27. He goes, Jeremiah, I'm the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And what God is saying, he said, listen, you think it's great for me to do a miracle out of substance? I make a miracle out of the nature of a human being, and I can redeem a person. If I can redeem a person, I can redeem a nation. I can redeem anything. We have the spirit of him who rose Jesus from the dead inside of us. We are the hope of the world. You and I, the church. Not because we're great, but because the spirit that resurrected Christ from the dead lives inside of me. We are the people that are the hope of the world. Because God can redeem me, he can redeem anything. Transformation starts with a human, starts with a person. We're waiting for, God, just send someone to save this nation. God says, I'm busy saving the nation. I'm making all things new now. Look in the mirror. I'm making everyone new. I'm making people new. Our God is the God of the new beginning. Doesn't matter how washed up your life is. Doesn't matter how disastrous it is. God saves, God redeems. End of last year, Gerard in our church, was bitten by a Mozambican spitting cobra. Thank you for so many of you that prayed for him faithfully. And for those of you just prayed once, God heard. Because I just want to stand here for a second. Small Gerard, Mozambique spitting cobra, bit him in his right hand just as he went to bed just outside Pretoria. And big snake, small body, lots of toxins, bad, really bad. It's dry up there, so the cobras went to the homes to get something, and he was disturbed and he bit him in his bed. And it's amazing. The doctor said, arm off. The doctor says, ooh, don't know, this is not looking good. We prayed, everyone prayed, God is gracious. Doctor said, front part of the arm off, prayed. Hand off. Doctor says, well, there's no way that we'll keep these two digits. He might have these three. I was with him yesterday. Our God is the God that does that. Where there is no hope, I will take what there is and I will save it and I will redeem it. He is called the Redeemer. Not the one who replaces, but the one who redeems. Not the one who restarts, but the one who rebuilds, restores, rejuvenates, regenerates. He is the God of the resurrection. That where there's dead, I take this dead body and I make it alive. There's nothing in your life that God cannot rebuild or begin over again. There's absolutely nothing in your life at the moment or in the future that God can't turn around for your good. There's absolutely no situation too big for God to rebuild, to restore, to make new. Our God is the God of new beginnings. Where there is seems to be an end, God says, there's not an end. Seems like death. Let me show you what I'm going to do with this dead body. I'm going to make it alive. Let me show you what I'm going to do with this destroyed Jerusalem. I'm going to build it up. Let me show you what I'm going to do with this distraught South Africa. I'll make it beautiful. And then lastly, our God is not just the God of the fresh start, the clean slate, or the God of the new beginning, but he's the God of new things. Where things have never, ever happened, God says, listen, I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. You have no idea what I'm going to do. Romans, Paul quotes from the Old Testament prophet, and he says, listen, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into even the mind or the imagination of people before what I am going to do. When there seems to be a destruction, when there seems to be no hope, when there seems to be no future ahead, God says, listen, Noah, there has never been any flotation device before. Let me show you what I'm going to do. Let me show you what you're going to do. You're going to make a boat. And then the people said to Noah, Noah, what is a boat? And he says, well, you'll find out when I float and you don't. But God is the God who makes something that has never, ever been imagined before, because God is the God who works through individuals like you and me. Like you and me. He makes new things. His plans and his purposes are birthed through humans. People like me and you. Normal people. He's the God that uses individuals like you and me to make new things. To bring hope where there seems to be no hope. To bring King Culture into existence. To save orphans. To bring hope where there seems to be no hope. Our God is the God that talks with individuals. That works with individuals. that says, listen, this is how I'm going to save. I'm going to work with you. I love it. And it's always in times of distress and always in times of great need that God saves, because when people cry out, God saves. So when there's no crying out, God doesn't save. God doesn't save anyone who doesn't want to be saved. God doesn't redeem. But when there's a crying out, God responds. When the Egyptians, when the Israelites, the Hebrews, literally second-hand citizens, when the Hebrews cries out, when Jacob's descendants cry out in Egypt, they cry out, there's pain, there's suffering, the people are crying out, and God says, I'm going to save them. Let me make Moses. Let me make the deliverer. Let me create and preserve this man and prepare him to save these people. Years later, we find the descendants, the offspring, we find them in Israel, in the promised land. And they reject God and move far away, and they get oppressed just like God promised. They get oppressed, they get thrown down, the Midianites, the Philistines, anyone that comes by wipes them. And they cry out time and time again. What does God do when people cry out to save us, Lord, save us? Samson, Jephthah, Deborah, Gideon. God takes the individual to save his nation, facilitate his deliverance. Did Gideon destroy the Midianite army of thousands, 20,000 people? No, 200,000. No, he simply stood up. He went there with the most ridiculous way ever. Pot shards and fackles. Is it the right word? Fackles. Lanterns, lights, lamps. Lights, flaming, torches. Torches is the right word. Thank you. The torch. That's good. That's where it's inspired, the torch. Anyway. So God, that's a bad word, fackles. Anyway. But God, but God takes this man to bring about his deliverance in a strangest way ever. Because that's our God. God saves. God redeems. Where there seems to be no hope, God says, come with me. Mia, walk with me. Do this. And it's simple obedience. It's massive faith. It's massive risk. But God saves. I wonder whether you know what is the plans that God has for you this year. Because I can say, if you walk with God, then you are part of God's redemption and salvation for the world. You are the hope of the world. For an individual, for a family, for the colleague sitting next to you, for your own kid, for the school that you are in. But you are God of God's hope for the world. It's not as though you have to do something to be his hope. You are that. Why? Because the Spirit of the living Christ lives inside of you. Jesus is the hope of the world. You are the hope of the world. Partnering with him, whether it's teenagers in a school, whether it's, doesn't matter what it is, whether it's just an engineering design, whether it's some medical thing. But you are part of God's hope. God, I want you to say this. If you ever wonder anything about your purpose and your identity, it's a very simple test to know whether you have a godly identity. You simply check what are your aspirations in life. Very simple test. Ask yourself honestly, what do you dream about? What do you think you can do? What do you think your life is worthy of? Very simple godly identity test. Because if you have a godly identity, then your aspiration will be godly. It's big. It's really, really big. It's really simple. What are your aspirations for the year? Let's just give a summary. Thanks, Janine, for helping me. Our God is the God of a fresh start. I want to ask you today, and I want to really seriously challenge you. Are you going to close this book on the past today? Accusations about you. Accusations about your identity. Real failures in the past. You know what I like about God's transformation of Jacob? Deceiver, schemer. It's not as though he was a lie that he was that. He was that. He was that freaking deceiving, lying, scary dude that just schemes to get what he wants to and enrich himself in life. And he wants the inheritance of God to make himself rich and to make himself powerful because he had a vendetta against his older, bigger brother, and he was the big, manly guy, and he was just the mommy's boy. God's challenge with him, God didn't write him off. God redeemed that boy right there. But he says, listen, let's talk about your identity. Let's talk about your scheming. Let's talk about your name. Hold on to me, and I will transform you in a real sense. Our God is the God that makes that fresh start. Or maybe something really bad happened to you. Maybe you were 5, maybe you were 37, maybe you have been betrayed, maybe you've been let down, maybe racism, you know, crippled you, maybe, you know, you're a foreigner in this country and you've been oppressed. Our God is the God that says, listen, let's close the book, let's forget what lies behind so you can stretch yourself. Let's leave the shackles of the past. Let's leave the guilt, let's leave the shame, let's leave the unforgiveness. And it's a simple decision with lots of grace from God. It's not that you have to decide it. It's God, help me leave the past behind. Let's close this book. Let's end this chapter. What should you close the book on? Guilt, shame, accusation, rape, molestation, bankruptcy, failures. What should you close the book on this year? And then secondly, God is the God of the new beginning. What does God want to start in you this year, or what does God want to start through you this year? What does God want to do in you? Will you be the same person at the end of this year? Will your circumstance be the same as it was in the beginning of this year? Please not. Our God is the God of the new beginning. He makes all things new. He recreates everything. And He wants to start with your life. And then lastly, God is the God of the new thing. What can God do through you? It's a good question to ask yourself. What can God do through you this year? What can He do? What can God Almighty with you do? It's nearly the same as asking what can God Almighty do, but what can God Almighty do in and through you this year? And I really want you to meditate on this. I want you to challenge God. I want you to have aspirations for the year. I want you to have plans for the year. I want you to live as though you don't live by yourself, but as the pagans do. But I want you to live as a child of God in whom the living Christ lives. Our God is the God of the new thing. And He wants to do it in you. And He wants to do it through you. What has God said to you in the past that He's going to do with you? Partner with Him. See what God can do in you. Father, I thank You, God, that You're the God Almighty, Lord. That You're the God of hope, God. The God of the new beginning. The God of the new start. The God who makes all things new. That You're the God who renews our heart. Who brings us to a place of recreation. That makes me a new creation, God. But not just me, God. Makes us a new creation, God. Who makes us a new nation, God. You're the God of the new, God. The God who makes, who takes away the flaws, Lord, the sins, who takes away the transgressions and the sins that keeps us bound, God. You take away the failures in our life, God, and from our life. And You make us new, God, for Your purposes, for Your glory. You save us, God, that so that people can see that this is how good our God is. Even in times of suffering, God, I thank You that we don't suffer in vain, God. We don't suffer in hopelessness. But I thank You, God, that You're the God who works in us and through us, God. You're the God of the fresh start, God. I thank You, Lord, this morning for people that will close the book on the past and really have a new day. Thank You for Your mercies that are new today, God. Thank You for new mercies. Thank You, God of hope, in Jesus' name. I want us just to have a time of response. I'm not going to call a few individuals forward, because the truth is that God is working with every individual here today. So to call a few people forward that want to close the book on the past is a bit funny, because let's be honest, we all have lived for a while, we all have messed up, and we all have been messed up in the past. So I want to ask you, what do you want to close the book on this year? And I want to ask you, what hopeless situation do you want to say, God, I want to start trusting You to make a new beginning out of this mess? My life looks like slavery, Egypt. God, are You going to save me? Are You going to redeem me? What can God do in you? So I want us to in small groups again. And if you really, if this is intense personal, then just at least have one person that you talk to. I want to really invite you. If there's something serious that you must lay aside and leave behind, then a few of the elders will be in front and we'll pray with you. But for the rest of us, I want you just to, in honesty and response, just take even one of the questions. And let's just pray about it with one another. Can we do that? That's right. Are we going to live with hope this year? Amen. Let's pray together. Thanks.